Hey everybody, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to try something a little different. We're going to do a deep dive into just one chapter of the Bible.
Yeah.
Just one chapter, Exodus chapter 4, using this super interesting article to kind of guide our discussion.
Ooh, that's cool.
So stick with us, even if you're not, you know, like a Bible scholar. This chapter is packed with universal stuff. I mean, we're talking about leadership, facing your fears, and the power of belief, you know, things that are just as important today as they were, well, thousands of years ago.
It's true. You know, Exodus chapter 4 is really fascinating because it shows how, like, even the most hesitant people can be transformed when they're called to do something bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
And Moses, oh man, Moses was for sure a reluctant leader.
He was. The article really brings that to life, you know, like his initial pushback against this whole thing. I mean, think about it. He's facing this monumental task of leading the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt.
Right.
And he is absolutely convinced that he's not the right guy for the job. He doubts his abilities. He's worried about his speech impediment. The article actually calls it a stutter, and he just feels completely overwhelmed by the whole thing. I mean, have you ever felt that way? Like when you're faced with some huge challenge and you're like, I am so not the person for this.
Oh, yes, totally. Mm-hmm. All the time.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so relatable. And that's what makes Moses so human. Mm. He's this guy destined for greatness, but he still struggles with self-doubt. Right. And that struggle actually makes his eventual transformation that much more powerful. It's kind of a reminder that we don't need to be perfect. We don't need to have it all figured out to step up and answer a call to action.
I love that. Okay, so we've got Moses riddled with self-doubt, right? And how does God respond? I'll tell you how. With not one, but two seriously dramatic miracles. First, Moses' staff turns into a snake. Like, what?
Whoa.
I know. And then his hand, bam, it's afflicted with leprosy, and then miraculously healed.
That's intense.
Super intense.
Right.
The imagery is so powerful. What do you think about the choice of those specific miracles?
Well, I think those miracles were chosen for a reason, you know, especially in the context of ancient Egypt, like the snake, often seen as this creature of power and danger. I think it was meant to show Moses and eventually the Israelites that he was chosen for this, you know?
Yeah.
Like divinely appointed. And then leprosy, well, that symbolized fear, isolation, you know, feelings that Moses was probably experiencing at that moment.
Yeah.
And then the healing, that showed God's power to overcome those exact things.
Yeah. It's almost like those miracles were like a divine pep talk.
Yeah, exactly. Like God was saying, hey, Moses, don't worry. I'm here with you. You got this.
I love that.
Yeah. And, you know, brings up this fascinating question, like, how do leaders gain trust and credibility today? You know, is it through like charisma, accomplishments, or is there something, I don't know, something more? Something else going on there.
Right. Okay. So we've got Moses. He's got this divine reassurance. Right? But he's still, I mean, understandably nervous, especially about public speaking. I mean, who isn't a little nervous about that?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's where his brother Aaron comes in. It's like a God basically says to Moses, okay, you focus on the big picture, the grand plan. You know, Aaron, he's a smooth talker. He's got the gift of gab. You two team up, make this happen. What do you think about that?
Well, that's huge. That teamwork aspect. It's a lesson that goes way beyond, you know, just leading a nation out of slavery, right?
Right.
Recognizing each other's strengths, you know, and working together, collaborating effectively. That's crucial for anything you want to accomplish.
Mm.
Any goal, big or small.
Right. So it kind of makes you wonder, like, did God always plan for them to be... accommodate Moses' insecurities? I don't know.
Hmm. I think that's a question for the theologians.
Right, right.
But what's important for us is the message. Even the most capable leaders, they need support.
Yeah.
Nobody can do everything themselves.
Absolutely. Okay, so Moses has divine reassurance. He's got his wingman, Aaron. He's still understandably nervous, right?
Huh?
And then God utters these incredibly powerful words. Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. I mean, wow, if you were in Moses' shoes right then, how do you think you'd feel?
Oh, man, I can only imagine there's so much packed into those words. I mean, faith and obedience, you know, the idea that God isn't necessarily looking for the most qualified person, but he empowers those he calls. But then it makes you think, does that mean we should always say yes when we feel called to do something, even if it scares us to death?
That is the question, isn't it?
It is.
So armed with divine reassurance, his brother by his side, Moses returns to Egypt after years in exile. Can you imagine the weight on his shoulders? Like, the responsibility. The Israelites were suffering under Pharaoh's rule, desperate for someone to lead them to freedom. What an intense situation.
Absolutely. And it's important to remember the context here. You know, Moses wasn't just battling his own doubts. He had to confront this powerful ruler, rally a disheartened people, and deal with his own insecurities, all while trying to fulfill this divine mission. It's pretty inspiring when you think about it.
It really is. But you know, it wasn't just Pharaoh and the Israelites that Moses had to navigate. The article mentions his family too. You know, his wife Zipporah and their son. There's this incident involving their son's circumcision.
Oh, right.
Where Zipporah basically takes matters into her own hands.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really interesting. What do you make of that?
It's a point where personal beliefs, family dynamics clash with this larger mission. It's fascinating. You can see Zipporah's actions as kind of defiant, but maybe also as a form of support. Mm-hmm. It's like she's protecting her family, but also acknowledging Moses' destiny.
It's true.
And that whole incident, it really highlights the tension between, you know, living your personal life and answering this greater calling, something I think a lot of people can relate to.
Oh, absolutely. A constant balancing act, trying to figure out how to manage the demands of our own lives with those moments when we feel pulled to pursue something bigger.
For sure.
It's a challenge, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. And, you know, this tension between personal life and a greater purpose kind of runs through the whole chapter, you know?
Yeah.
Makes you think, how much should our own beliefs, our family, how much should that influence, you know, decisions we make as leaders, especially when those decisions have big consequences for others?
It's a really good question. And Moses wasn't just dealing with family stuff, right? He also had to bridge this gap, this cultural and religious gap between the Israelites and the Egyptians. I mean, he'd been living in Midian for years, married to a Midianite woman.
Right, right.
So going back to Egypt, it must have been like, whoa, total culture shock.
Right. Yeah.
Big time. Back to this world he'd left behind, full of conflict and tension. And then think about the Israelites. They'd been through generations of slavery, probably feeling totally hopeless. I mean, how do you even begin to inspire people who've known nothing but suffering and oppression for so long?
Right. It seems impossible. But this is where faith, this idea of obedience, becomes so powerful. The article really emphasizes that, you know, God used Moses's hesitation, his doubts, even his fears to highlight the power of divine intervention. It's almost like God saying, look, I can use anyone, even someone who stutters, to accomplish my will.
It's that saying, right? God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called.
Yeah, exactly.
But still, it must have been terrifying for Moses, you know, to walk into Pharaoh's court and demand the release of his people. That takes guts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's what makes Moses such a compelling leader. He wasn't, you know, born a hero. He wasn't some naturally charismatic speaker, just an ordinary guy thrust into this extraordinary situation, but he found a way to step up.
And I love how the article describes those early encounters with Pharaoh. It wasn't just Moses, you know, boldly demanding freedom. It was back and forth, like a negotiation almost.
Right, with miracles and plagues thrown in.
Right, so it's like this high stakes game, you know, and it really shows another side of leadership, the ability to adapt and keep going even when you're up against these huge obstacles. Moses didn't give up when Pharaoh said no. He kept coming back each time with this more powerful demonstration of God's power.
Right. Like, see? Told ya.
Exactly. It's like a divine game of chess with the fate of a whole nation at stake. But it also makes you think about the human cost of all of this, right? I mean, even though those plagues were meant to persuade Pharaoh, they must have caused a lot of suffering on both sides.
That's a really important point, and I'm glad the article doesn't shy away from that. It makes you think, do the ends always justify the means? Especially when those means involve so much hardship and pain. It's a tough question, ethically, one that we still struggle with today.
Definitely. It's a good reminder that even when leadership is guided by, you know, divine inspiration, it's not always simple. There are consequences. Thinking about Moses again, wow, the pressure must have been immense. Pharaoh's stubbornness, the Israelites' anxiety, his own self-doubt. How did he handle it all?
The article points to a few things. His faith, that's big. His faith in God's promise, even when things look really bad. Mm-hmm. And having Aaron there to support him, to advise him. And this deep sense of responsibility for his people. He couldn't let them down.
So it was like a mix, you know, unwavering faith, teamwork, and this unwavering purpose that kept him going.
Sounds like a good recipe for any leader, honestly, especially when things get tough.
Yeah, for sure. And we got to remember, we're just looking at one chapter here. One chapter in Moses' long, complicated journey. Exodus chapter 4 is like the foundation. We see him transform from a reluctant shepherd to a divinely appointed leader. It's incredible how much there is in just one chapter. We've talked about leadership, facing fears, the importance of faith, complicated family stuff, and even like these tough ethical questions. Yeah. And we've barely scratched the surface.
Right. That's what I love about these deep dives. We might be focused on one specific thing, but the connections go way beyond that.
Yeah.
It's about getting curious, thinking about things in new ways, seeing the world, you know, with a new lens.
It is. And before we finish up with Exodus chapter 4, there's one more big theme I want to touch on: legacy. What lessons can we learn from Moses, you know, as modern readers, and how can we apply those lessons to our own lives?
That's a great question. It deserves some real thought. Let's take a minute to reflect on that and we'll come back to it.
You know, as we've been going through Exodus chapter 4, I've been thinking about how relevant this old story still feels. It's wild to think, right? These events happened thousands of years ago, but the ideas still resonate with us today.
Yeah. What's really interesting to me is, yeah, the context is totally different, but the challenges are the same, right? Leadership, faith, doubt, those things are timeless. Moses' journey, I think it speaks to anyone who's ever felt like they're supposed to do something big, something more than themselves, whether it's, you know, leading a team, starting a creative project, or just standing up for what they believe in.
Totally. I mean, we might not be dealing with burning bushes or staffs turning into snakes these days, but we feel the same things.
Right. Exactly. And the things we can learn from Moses, they're just as useful today. Like how important it is to trust in something bigger than yourself, whether it's faith in God or a commitment to a mission or just strong values. That belief can really help you get through hard times, just like it did for Moses.
Yeah. And let's not forget teamwork, right? I mean, sure, God chose Moses, but he wouldn't have gotten very far without Aaron backing him up. It shows that even the best leaders need people around them, people who get their strengths, you know, and can help with their weaknesses.
Absolutely. And if we zoom out a little, look at the bigger picture, Exodus chapter 4 isn't just about Moses, right? It's about a whole nation being born. It's about these people, the Israelites, who've been enslaved and oppressed, finally finding their voice, their power, by working together.
That's powerful. Even though Moses was the leader, the real miracle is the Israelites themselves, right? They chose to follow him, to believe in the possibility of freedom, and that's ultimately what set them free.
Exactly. And that's a really important lesson, especially today when so many people feel like they don't have a voice, you know? It reminds us that change is possible, but it takes everyone. It takes courage, and it takes believing in something bigger than ourselves.
Love that. So much wisdom in these old stories. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we wrap up our deep dive, I want to go back to that question you asked before. Knowing what we know now, if you were Moses, would you accept that call to lead?
That's a question we all have to ask ourselves, isn't it? There's no right answer, and the stakes are high. But what Exodus chapter 4 shows us is that even the most reluctant person can find the strength and the support to do amazing things. It's about trusting the process, believing in change, and having the courage to take that first step, even when it's scary.
Perfectly said. And that, my friends, is Exodus chapter 4 in a nutshell. An ancient story that still speaks to us today. A story about hope, resilience, and the power of leadership. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.